You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You may have seen just end of last week, over the weekend, an analysis, you know, of what's happening in our economy. The economy, of course, we've seen an increase in the GDP, but where are the jobs? And then we look at the levels of unemployment in our society and how young people particularly are affected. And the figures, of course, are quite alarming. The expanded definition of unemployment says 74% of young people aged between 15 and 24 are unemployed. That's according to the expanded definition. And many in this category are NEETs, which means not in employment or education or training. And this is also a category that we need to be really worried about. It was UJ Professor Lauren Graham who said that these young people who are categorized as NEETs, they're not in employment, education or training, are in waithood, a prolonged period of suspension in which people's access to social adulthood is delayed or denied, which means that there's so many dreams, there's so much talent that is left unfulfilled and unrealized. And so this week, we will endeavor to bring you these important conversations on how young people are affected and for us to help us further understand what the challenges are. And in that as well, we'll pepper stories of inspiration, stories that remind us that there are opportunities, and often it's just a lack of information that can lead us to not accessing them or remaining in that waithood. And so this afternoon, we bring you a story of upliftment, creating opportunity, and food security. It's multi-layered, and that's the journey of Zandile Khumalo. And she is the founder of High Harvest, and she joins us now on the line because she has been farming with hydroponics for a number of years. She worked as a consultant in this area for many years before charting her own path as an entrepreneur in this space. And over and above that, she has a vision for the youth of the township when it comes to this particular mode of food security and farming. Zandile, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Azania. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Really lovely that we could chat to you because you've had quite an interesting journey, and you focused in an area that I think it piqued your interest, and you've continued to grow since, and it allows us to expand our thinking on opportunities, but also on what we can do to attain food security. So you are originally from Soweto.
Yes. Originally, I was born in Soweto, but then my whole growth teenage time, I was in the Vaal.
And that was pivotal, right? Because this is where you were introduced to farming. Take us back to how this introduction happened.
Just a little bit back. Basically, I am the CEO and co-founder of Neighbor Roots and also the director of High Harvest. Basically, after completing my qualification in analytical chemistry from the Vaal University of Technology, I started my farming journey by planting crops on a 2,000 square meter backyard space, creating awareness for zero hunger in my community there in Hendrikoetsoe in the Vaal. Throughout my varsity life, I then spent a great deal in the conventional farming space, where I learned a lot about how to run a successful farm, because then I realized that I needed a little bit of mentorship in terms of the farming, dealing with nature's unpredictability, and also gathering the necessary experience so that it can be able to groom me into the farmer I am today and that I wanted to be at that time.
So we'll
dedicate.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to continue that, dedicated to learning, then got inspired with agritech. Then my research then started for being able to sell hydroponic produce, which was clean and being able to produce all year round. And then I founded my first business at that time in Sebokeng, which is a hydroponic business at VUT. And I formed a partnership with Flanagan and Jared, to build a second farm on the rooftop of Morningside Shopping Center. And then we were able to form a collaboration with Red Hill School and BI Impact Consulting to bring this project to life. So our focus basically was to supply the Morningside Shopping Centre restaurants and retailers, which includes your refillery, your wellness warehouse, your Pick and Pay, Pomodoro, and the Signature restaurant, so that they can be able to get produce that is fresh, flavorful, and well nutritious just right on the rooftop of the shopping center. And they were able to support with an overwhelming of their support. They were able to come on board and be able to help neighborhood to receive, to be able to achieve its stride and be able to supply this type of produce within our community.
Right. And from the onset, you've been thinking about what you can do to get more young people, more of our youth involved in farming. You mentioned starting on a 2,000 square kilometer piece of space, but you also want to look at how backyards can be utilized for this opportunity. Talk to us more about that part of what you do.
So it was mostly just an initiative because we understand that at some point every farmer has to start somewhere.
Mm.
I looked at what I have, and the backyard that I had was what, you know, I could be able to bring this initiative of zero hunger within my community awareness and be able to show people that, you know, you have to have humble beginnings of where you start farming. So for me, it was basically so that I can be able to see myself as a farmer who is participating within the economy and having a meaningful within our youth to bring job creation, to be able to bring healthy food to our people. And, you know, just that greatness of bringing, of them eating straight from the farm. That was the main idea of bringing this whole thing to me and saying, my farming, I enjoy farming, I enjoy nature. And, you know, I wanted to do it in the most efficient with what I have.
Yes, but how intensive is starting hydroponics, like just getting into it? Because, you know, our conventional thinking is that we need a piece of land, but you're saying that not all the spaces that we have are conducive to farm in the ground.
Yes.
Especially in urban spaces.
So having to plant into hydroponics is quite a steep in terms of funding, in terms of being able to get in it and be able to get it running. But then if you have the right funders with you backing you up, you may be able to start it.
Mm.
So, but there are other ways of starting, being a hydroponic farmer in your small space and being able to find other ways of how you can be able to actually do it within your backyard, you can.
Mm.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the urban spaces. I chose urban spaces because of the collaboration and the idea that we had with this collaboration, that we wanted to bring food closer to the restaurants, especially leafy greens, closer to the market, and being able to bring upliftment within this community of how fresh vegetables and bring that awareness of healthiness. So hence then the urban city and being able to put it on the abundant spaces that are not used. So basically anybody can do hydroponics, but if you've got proper funding and backing with you, then I believe you can become a hydroponic farmer.
Mm, so on a small scale, it's also possible and can provide a livelihood.
Yes, it is.
What about the water impact or the impact on water? Because South Africa is a water scarce country.
We save a lot of water, about 80% of water when we're doing hydroponic. So it's actually referring to you growing crops using water-based nutrient-rich solution, which is an alternative to using to conventional farming. And now that we realize that you have scarcity of water, you have scarcity also of land, that then you can be able to use the spaces and be able to use them effectively. So the water that we use, we recycle it throughout the cycle of the crop that we have. Hence, then it assists us to save on the water. So when you have water outages, you can survive with the water inside your tank for your produce or for your crops to be able to grow. So basically is water efficiently, about 80% compared to conventional farming.
Because you consulted in the space for a while, didn't you? So you're quite familiar with different types of these hydroponic farms in South Africa.
Yes, I did.
And you're seeing savings across the board compared. And when we say 80% savings, is it what is it compared to?
It's compared to conventional farming. You know that in conventional farming, farmers usually would sprinkle the water, and then they don't have a system where then it will be able to be recycled and use the same water again to irrigate their crops. So with hydroponic farming, it's a way of saying that you could actually use the same amount of water for the duration of the cycle of your crop growth. And as it will irrigate through, it goes back into the tank and then it gets pumped again into the system. So that's how it's a closed loop circulation of irrigation. So that is what it's compared to, so that we can be able to just mitigate these farming issues that we face in South Africa.
Yeah. Let's look at, because help us understand the part about carbon sequestration, and because you've analyzed carbon footprints as well before going into your work as a solo individual.
We realize that, you know, food is being transported from afar, and we understand that, you know, your food gets into the truck, then the DC, and then straight to your client. So retailer, sometimes it's retailer, then clients, then carbon emissions is being used within that whole value chain and the process. But then if you are able to be able to choose certain crops that you can bring closer to the restaurant and be able to, you know, just harvest them up there and bring it down straight to the mall, which was our model as a collaboration, then it reduces on emission, it reduces on transportation, and it also saves the business itself in terms of logistics, that you don't have to spend much on getting produce to your clients, you just get it straight just downstairs. For us, it's just taking it upstairs and bringing it downstairs to the restaurants whenever they need it.
Right. So not only is there saving on water, but we're able to reduce our carbon footprint depending on the area which is served by a hydroponic farm, and choosing that location with that view of saving on water and saving on carbon emissions, or reducing carbon emissions.
Yes, that is true.
So how expansive is the farm now? Because and how much produce, what is your output? Because you're able to also plant vertically.
Yes. So with Neighbor Roots, I'll just hint on both of the farms. So with Neighbor Roots, we basically, it's not so easy to put a number to a hydroponic farm. Reason why I say this is because Aquatech is a revolution type of farming, where then you will always have to, you know, just upgrade your tunnel as your system grows and as technology changes. Like, for instance, if it gets too hot, you'll realize that the temperatures sometimes change, and then you'll have to just a little bit control your weathers outside, so you'll put in some fans. But just for us, just to be roughly, you can actually start with about 350,000 to be able just to bring a basic hydroponic farm. And as it grows, with ours at this current moment is about over close to 1 million in an investment inside. So that's how it's been, just additioning on changing the pump systems, you know, the gravity as it plays along with whatever that you would experience throughout that process when you're having that farm. So that's how it is. So our output on our tunnel is about 1,600 crops of lettuce. Then we've got some baby spinach, which then you could get about 24 kgs out of it. And on a monthly base, and we've got some basil, which then we could take out about 3 to 4 kgs out of it in a month. So that's a total of our system. So that we have here on our 300 square meter tunnel. And at VUT, we actually began there where I would say that 350K, and we've went up, which then investments came in just to grow up the system, just to make sure, not grow up, just to change and more implementation on the system. And then we have ended up being able to be able to, I think we've reached about 500,000 rand on building up, setting up the tunnel of how we do it, but we're still going to continue adding more funding on our farm. So we've moved it vertically. That's the vertical farm that we have, farming A-frame. So we are able to produce more crops that we have in there per square meter. Mm. So we are able to take out 7,200 plants out of that tunnel.
Wow. That's amazing. And all of this in spaces that we occupy all the time. How are power cuts affecting you? Just briefly, have you been able to mitigate the interruptions?
That's a very good question, because we have been having challenges throughout with electricity. Hydroponics is highly dependent on electricity and water. So with on our side with electricity and the power cuts, with VUT tunnel, we've added a funding for a solar panel, and we were able just to mitigate it that when load shedding comes in, we are able to keep on having electricity generated, because if electricity goes out, you actually could lose close to about 60% of your produce and of your output production just by load shedding for just that load shedding that happened for 4 hours or 2 hours. Here at Neighborhoods on the Morningside Shopping Center, we raised funds so that we can be able to be connected to the generator, with the same situation that when load shedding hits, we get a kick off generator.
Yes.
So those challenges we have mitigated, that we make sure that we always find ways to be able to gain electricity.
Uninterrupted supply. Zandile, continue to do what you're doing, especially in empowering young people, because we have a lot of hopelessness and despondency, and showing that there are other areas that where opportunities are, especially thinking of the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Azania, and the 702 listeners, and also to your team. I appreciate the platform that has been given to me. Thank you very much.
That is Zandile Khumalo.